Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I am thrilled to bring you a conversation with Susan Dawson. Susan earned her Juris Doctorate degree at Loyola University Chicago School of Law in 2000 with a concentration in corporate business law and taxation. Licensed in Illinois since 2000, Susan has spent her entire career representing businesses, business owners, entrepreneurs, and employees. Susan quickly realized that there was a need for a boutique law firm focused on providing prompt, efficient, and quality legal services to both small and mid-sized businesses and its owners. Susan founded Waltz, Palmer, and Dawson, LLC in 2008 with two partners, both women, creating one of the only entirely women-owned law firms in the Chicagoland area. Her law firm uses its unique perspective to provide unparalleled legal services to its clients. Susan also believes firmly in the intrinsic rewards of giving back to the community in which you live. Susan repeatedly dedicates hundreds of hours each year and sometimes even each month supporting various local charitable initiatives and organizations. Feeling that there was a void in charitable fundraising for programs focused on assisting individuals wishing to return to the workforce, Susan created a new charitable organization in 2005. All funds raised by the organization support programs that focus on job training or work placement for individuals who are struggling to overcome hardships. For example, in 2005, the organization raised funds for the WINGS Job Training Program, which provides job training for women escaping abusive situations and needing to return to work to support their families. In addition to her business and community involvement, Susan is also the mother of three young children. Susan began her legal practice working for a Chicago-based law firm, and after many years of logging thousands of hours on the train, Susan realized that the only way to feed her passion for being a lawyer as well as her deep need to be a hands-on mom was to relocate close to home in the northwest suburbs. As a working mom, Susan understands the unique difficulties placed on women in business and the difficulties involved in maintaining a satisfying work-life balance. That is one of the primary reasons behind the creation of Waltz, Palmer, and Dawson. Susan and her partners recognize that flexibility in your work environment is key to being not only a good parent, but a good employee as well. At her law firm, Waltz Palmer Law Dawson was created to provide legal professionals and staff with a family-friendly work option, and it allows flexible schedules and unique employment roles to allow employees to keep in touch with what matters most, their family. So thank you so much, Susan, for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. Susan, I'd love to just jump into the questions that we're going to use as a foundation for our conversation together. Would that be all right?
That's fine.
Great. Susan, as you look back at your life and your professional career, I'm wondering if you would say that you were always good at or always adept at balancing the competing roles in your life, be it work and personal life or your education and your personal life, or do you feel like there was a critical point or a time where you decided that something had to change in order to create the kind of balance you were seeking?
I don't know if you could say I was always adept at it, but as your life and personal life grows and changes, I've always kind of grown and changed with it and what its needs were. When I started law school, I knew that I did not want to go work for a large firm where I would be kind of swallowed up and part of the bigger machine. I went through law school with the eye towards entering into a boutique law firm. So to some degree, I think that's different. A lot of lawyers went through law school want to go into that larger law firm. But I went straight to the smaller law firm intentionally so that I could start off with a kind of that work-life balance initially. I worked for a wonderful law firm in Chicago that I cannot say enough about. They really tried to give me as much flexibility as they could, but unfortunately with the conventional law firm practice, it's almost impossible to really maintain a work-life balance when you're so far away from your family. So for me, it was when I was pregnant with my second child and, you know, getting on the train, and my commute was an hour and 20 minutes each way, and I was just kind of walking along and realized I just don't want to do this anymore. So that's when I really made the change out to the suburbs, really just kind of changed my practice, took a big leap, and decided to really focus on being closer to my children.
So there was, it sounds like, that traditional model, while you were at a firm that you really enjoyed, the model itself was just not something that was workable for the kind of lifestyle you wanted to have.
Right. It was difficult because when you're so dedicated to a train schedule to get home, mm-hmm. when school would call and say, oh, your son has a fever, I'd look at the clock and say, oh, and I just missed the next train. So now it'll be another hour before the next train and then an hour and 20 minutes before I could even get, you know, to you. So it was struggling trying to get my family, who could pick up my child, could my husband be there? And it always worked out. Someone was always able to get them. But as a mom, it would just kill me that I wasn't the one able to get to him, that I wasn't the one taking care of him when he was sick. So it was just very difficult for me. And it became hard to focus at work knowing that I wasn't at home with my son.
It is that sort of psychological distraction, not just more the physical space, but the fact that mentally you're kind of checked out and you're with your son or you're thinking about your family and worried about that. And that way it detracts too, maybe, from what you felt like you were able to give your clients or your work.
Right. It absolutely did. I was able to work, but there was just so many moments where I would just get distracted and it was just sad. It was hard to give that part up, that part of being a mom, being able to be there when your child is sick is such an mm-hmm. important part, and that was difficult.
And I'm sure we'll get into it, but it sounds, just from reading your introduction, that that's so much of what you've created and the women in your law firm have created is that kind of model where you understand that that's an important thing, that you have the flexibility, that the family is such an important part of what you do and why you do it, and how you want to show up as a lawyer and what kind of practice you want to have.
Right. It really was the driving force behind it. And I, you know, like I said, this firm in the city, they were wonderful people. I still keep in touch with them. And they gave me what they could in terms of flexibility. And I cannot at all say that they were not a great firm to work for, or that they didn't and try to help me be able to be more of a mom. They gave me a very unconventional long maternity leave with my first child. I was able to work from home part-time I had about 2 months of maternity leave and then worked from home part-time for about another 3 months. So that was amazing that they did that for me, and they were great. When I did move out to the suburbs, I did take somewhat of a leap because I just needed to get out here fast. I was something like 6 months pregnant when I was interviewing. So that was an interesting thing to go through. Most people aren't interested in hiring a very pregnant attorney. But mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to find a firm out here that did. And for a while, it really worked. They really gave me that flexibility. But as I became more independent, I guess as an attorney, maybe independent's the right word, but building my own practice, bringing in my client base, and having to leave for networking meetings as well as for my children's involvement, they started trying to crack down. They only wanted me out of the office for networking, not for anything to have to do with my children. There's so many things that go on during the day. There's the holiday pageant,
everything.
And, you know, there's
the
all
day.
Those.
Yes.
You know, a day that you're going on a field trip with your child. There's so many things. So it became very important to them that I be more of a body in a chair as opposed to an attorney that had, you know, a life outside the office. And they were trying to push, you know, Saturdays on me, which I had never before agreed to. No firm had ever, my city firm didn't make me do it. And I was specific when I took this job in the suburbs that I would not work Saturdays. And they were just really changing the deal that we had struck when I went out there. And it made me realize that I didn't need to be in that conventional structure. I feel like I was a very successful attorney in, even with that work-life balance. I was the highest billing associate that the firm had. I brought in more money in business than any other attorney there, yet they were telling me that they needed me there during the hours of 9 to 5, when no clients had ever complained that I was not being attentive. And it made me really realize that we actually are very lucky in what we do, in that there is so much opportunity for flexibility in our schedule because clients, you know, if I draft, I don't go to court very frequently. If a client wants me to draft a document, he doesn't know I'm drafting it at 9 o'clock at night.
That's right.
He just knows that he got it at 8 o'clock the next morning.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't send out emails at 1 in the morning. I don't think anyone wants their attorney working at 1 in the morning. But I do get my work done in an unconventional way. You know, I make sure just this morning my daughter had a doctor's appointment. And so I was able to take her to the doctor's appointment and then get into the office. I got here somewhere around 10:30 this morning. And mm-hmm. I'll work through lunch, sure, but who doesn't? And then when I leave today, somewhere around 5, I will pick up all three of my children from my oldest is in kindergarten and my two youngest are in daycare, pick them up, take them home, make them dinner. I've got meetings tonight that I have to go to at 7:30, and when I get back, I'll tuck them into bed and get back to work.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's busy. I'm not saying it's not busy. I work all the time, either both as a mom and as a professional, but my clients they never complain that there's a delay in their work, and I'm never able to not fulfill my deadlines. It's just that I don't always do it from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or, you know, the standard hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like you said, as long as you're serving your clients, that's what matters in terms of your law practice, and you're able to do it while also serving your family in that way and being able to be at the doctor's appointment or the school pageant or my daughter's kindergarten graduation is this Friday morning. I'm like, you know, I can't go back and do that next week or next year or something. I've got to be there. And so we have to create something sometimes that gives us the flexibility. And if being in the traditional law firm won't give us that, then like you've done, sometimes we just have to create it.
Right, right. And there really isn't a lot out there. You know, I think men really do work hard to try to understand what it is to be a working mom, but I don't think that they're mm-hmm. able to. Many of the men that I've worked for had stay-at-home wives who, boy, they work hard. I could not imagine doing that job. But because the men had stay-at-home wives, these wives are so good at what they do, the men never realized how much work that went into that.
Right.
And so they really don't have a great understanding of how hard it is to work full-time and still do that job at home, still get the dinner on the table, get the laundry done, get the grocery shopping done, and raise the children. So as much as they thought they were giving me great flexibility and understanding, they just couldn't ever possibly comprehend how much work went into both of my jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was fortunate enough never to really work for someone who was just completely not understanding of the mom role. One of my partners here did have more difficulty with that. But when we came together, the three of us here, we specifically wanted an environment of work-life balance. My partner, Mildred Palmer, has four children, but my partner, Nicole Waltz, does not have any children and does not wish mm-hmm. to have any children. She and her husband have made that decision. But even she wants to have a work-life balance.
Right.
So we made, you know, we all understand that you don't have to have children just to want to have more flexibility in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everyone. So we've kind of struck a great balance here in the office.
That's so good to hear. And like you said, it looks different for all sorts of women, even for the women I'm interviewing for Women Lawyers Online. Many of them have children, many of them have spouses or partners, but some of them are single, or they're single moms, but really some of them are just single or maybe married with no children, and the lifestyle, the work-life balance looks very different than it would for, say, you or me who has small children or children, but they still want it. They still want that quality of life. They don't want to be working around the clock with no vacation and no time to spend with family and friends and those sorts of things. It's just a different picture. So it's interesting that in your firm you found that as well with your partner who has no, I don't know, is she married?
She is married, yes.
She's married, no children. I mean, it's just but she still values that lifestyle. Like, you know, if you're married and have no children, you still could both be working around the clock, but you choose to make the priority of having a life outside of your law practice.
Right, exactly.
Susan, I'm wondering, as you think about your experience and you've shared so much of that and what the challenges were, and maybe you've already alluded to or said this, what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you've experienced along the way?
I think the biggest challenge is accepting the fact that you can't be perfect
mm-hmm.
and that you're going to miss things. It's very hard to accept the fact that I can't do everything. Sometimes I have to miss things, and both with respect to networking opportunities in the business and with respect to events in my children's lives. I can't be at everything, but part of that is also a lesson that children, I think, need to learn. You know, growing up, my parents had to miss things from time to time as well, and that's just part of accepting life. So I don't think that necessarily I'm doing my children a disservice by doing that. It's just that it's hard for me to accept because I want to be able to be there. But I definitely look at my options, my opportunities, what's out there, what's my schedule like. I try not to miss too many things. My children's events take priority over most things. But I do sometimes have to have a client meeting because I have to pay the mortgage. Mm-hmm. And if that client could only meet me during something that's going on in school, then I'm going to have to meet with that client. I can't say no. I do make an effort in my networking events that are in the evening not to have more than two evening meetings a week. And that's both social and, you know, with business. I do belong to a book club because, my goodness, I can't just be with my children and run my business all day long. I have to have a social outlet as well. So I do have my book club and I have my girlfriends, but they all know the rule that if I don't do more than two nights a week, so that five nights are absolutely dedicated to my children at least, and then sometimes more. Some weeks, miraculously, I don't have anything going on in the evening. Those are rare.
Aren't those the best weeks?
Those are the best weeks. Right. When I look at my schedule and I realize I have no evening meetings, I'm so happy. It's so funny. But you know, that's part of building a business, part of bringing a business. You have to do things. So my children are actually fine with it. It was harder when they were younger. They're very upset when, well, my youngest is 9 months, so she can't talk to me yet. Mm. But my older two they were very upset at the beginning when mommy would go to meetings, but now they don't mind. And they're both boys, and they're really bonding more with daddy, and I think that's terrific that they have those evenings become daddy evenings. And it's great for my husband because I'm out of the way, and he gets to truly do things with his children his way and bond with them. So it's become somewhat of a positive, though, you know, as with everyone, I'd love to spend more time with them.
That's true, but I think it is just that admitting that we can't be perfect and we can't be there all the time for everything, but that we're giving it our best shot. And I love how you said it, that sometimes we do our children a disservice by giving them the false impression that we can be there all the time. You know, to let them know that sometimes we have to work, and that's just the way it goes. And when they are parents, that will be the case for them too, most likely. I mean, it's a rare case where somebody's at your beck and call 24/7. So we're able to let them know that the reality of the world is that we try and we get there as much as we possibly can. And I think it's nice that I'm just thinking of my daughter in kindergarten too. I think teachers and schools are becoming increasingly sensitive to the fact that many of us are working outside the home, and so the way they structure things sometimes is amenable to that. But there still is that learning curve where I think we, as working moms especially, or working parents in general, can educate even the schools that we need as much advance notice about things as possible, that, you know, a note home the day before that there's something important at school the next day makes it very hard for us to actually accommodate and be there. So I find myself just thinking, this is an opportunity to educate a teacher, to educate a school about what it means, because I know it's not only affecting me, it's affecting other parents who are also working, who, if we had a little more advance notice, we could schedule ourselves better. So I think things are getting better, but there's still those times, like you said, when somebody can only meet or can only talk at a certain time, that we have to make the sacrifices, or maybe there's a grandparent or a dad that can go there instead, and we can still figure out a way to make it work. But it doesn't alleviate the mommy guilt completely when we can't be there.
Absolutely not. I do think it's unfortunate that schools are kind of that last area where it's still, I don't want to say unacceptable, but they just don't plan or perceive the working mom. It's still so based around the non-working mom that can do all these things. And, you know, it has been such a switch for me, my son going from daycare where everyone there works. So it's such an environment that's so supportive and wonderful. Right. All my friends at that school were working moms. And we all supported each other. And then to enter into the kindergarten environment where it's predominantly stay-at-home moms,
right,
and to suddenly be just, you know, not supported and to have to deal with these last-minute challenges and then,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I can't be the mom that brings the wonderful, you know, creative, spent hours on project or what have you. I just don't have the time to be that mom as much as I want to be. So luckily, this the nutrition program that's going through the schools has really helped with that whole baked goods thing.
I was thinking that, you know, yesterday.
Right, it's kind
of had
it's an unintended result. It's really, really helped out the working mom. And another great thing with the daycare was they had a policy that there could be no homemade goods.
Right. That's
for,
so
you know, safety concerns. And,
right,
oh, that's the best rule because no one can out-bake each other, you know?
I love it. That's, as you said that, I thought yesterday I had to send, it's my daughter's birthday tomorrow, and I had to send treats to preschool, and I bought cookies, you know, at Target. And as I was packing them up yesterday to send with my husband to drop off at preschool, I thought, you know, the fact that they have to be store-bought is such, mm-hmm, a blessing. Like, I don't feel like, I don't feel the mommy guilt for not slaving away,
right,
in the kitchen last night.
Right, absolutely.
Oh,
it's
like,
it's really a very unintended result. I mean, that's not where it came from, but luckily it's there, you know?
Yes, exactly. And that, like you said, sometimes it's even unconscious on the part of, say, the school system or things like that, but it does really, it really helps. And yet, even if it weren't there, to your point about just admitting to ourselves that we can't be perfect, even if it has to be store-bought when it could have been homemade, as long,
mm-hmm,
as they get the cookies, ideally, and, you know, maybe we even forgot the cookies. And I think it's okay to tell our kids sometimes, as long as it's not all the time, you know, I made a mistake. Like, that happens too. Sometimes,
right,
I make mistakes, and it's okay. And I'm going to apologize to you now and fess up to the fact that I forgot, and I apologize. And I'll either bust my buns to make it right or, you know, I'm just admitting that I made a mistake. And sometimes we can,
right,
teach our children how to gracefully make mistakes too, and that's an important lesson as well.
Right, exactly.
Susan, on the flip side of that challenge, and I just so resonate with what you're saying about letting go of the need to be perfect all the time, but I'm wondering what you might say your biggest lesson has been, if there was a lesson or a teaching, something, maybe a philosophy or just a way of being or doing things that's been meaningful to you. What would you say that lesson has been?
Well, it is probably somewhat along the you can't be perfect, which is just forgiveness and flexibility,
mm-hmm,
you know, allowing yourself to be imperfect and being okay with that. I'm not sure how much of a difference it is from that challenge, but really I think ultimately that's the thing I struggle with the most. Being able to say no is something I have great difficulty doing. I still, to this day, have great difficulty doing it. My friends that have the ability to say no, I am in such awe of, because it's hard. It's hard to be okay with setting a boundary and saying, no, I can't go there, when you're such a driven person. I mean, people who start their own firms have so much drive that it's hard to say no to any opportunity. But you need to. You need to forgive yourself. Let yourself be you. Let yourself breathe now and again. And do not ever forget that time for yourself, as hard as it is because you feel guilty that you're not with your children or working on your business, but time for yourself is still so valuable, and you have to set that time out. You have to give it to yourself, and you have to be okay with it and not hate yourself for it. It's an ongoing struggle. I don't think I've in any way got it nailed on the head. I constantly feel guilt and, you know, I'm constantly angry with myself with, oh, I was supposed to leave today at 3, but I kept billing, and now it's 4, and now I'm running around. And, you know, it's a day-to-day struggle to be okay with that, with not being perfect, with letting go, setting boundaries, and just living your life.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's so closely tied into the letting go of the desire to be perfect, that, and just admitting that we can't be, and like you said, to be forgiving and gentle with ourselves when things don't go according to plan, or when we can't bake the cookies, or we can't be there, whatever it is that we're not being perfect, but to be gentle and loving for ourselves as well as with others. I mean, just in our lives, and as you said, it goes back to flexibility as well, just being okay with the fact that we can't be in control and we can't be perfect, and again, forgiving ourselves and forgiving others when things don't go as much as we try to plan them, they don't go according to plan.
Right.
Susan, with that, I'm wondering if there are some tips and tools or strategies that you've used that you found to be very useful to you or meaningful to you, maybe something that's more practical or tactical, sometimes just systems or ways of doing things that have made a big difference, maybe an unexpected difference, but have helped you increase that balance in your life. What would you say some of those strategies or tools might be?
Well, I wish I had something original, but I'm sure it's not. It's really just keeping on top of my schedule. I have to know pretty much where I am going to be throughout the day. I always make sure, you know, I might not know where I'm going to be on Friday. I mean, it's Wednesday, and I probably don't know what my schedule looks anything like on Friday, and probably have a vague idea of tomorrow. But it's written down somewhere, so I know somewhere it's written down and it's right. And when today is winding down, I will start looking at tomorrow. And so tonight, a big part of tonight is looking at tomorrow, looking through each appointment, what does each thing take? What do I need for school? What do I need? You know, I don't go to bed unless the backpack for school is packed. I know what my day for tomorrow is. I know where I need to be and when, and I've got that kind of in my head and I'm ready for it. And then tomorrow when I wake up, it's just all ready to go. But it's just really keeping on top of your schedule, making sure that you set that time aside to plan for the next day so you're not just moving moment to moment. But you have to also be able to change everything on a dime. And mm-hmm. you have to be that kind of person that can just say, all right, that schedule is out the window, and now I'm just going to go with it as it comes, because children always get sick on days where you're booked solid.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Know.
It's always the way it goes. And so I've been able to just throw that schedule out the window. And fortunately, with the firm that I have, the clients that I have, all understand that I have a family, and I make that a part of my practice. So when my child is sick and I have to go home and work from home, I have to cancel an appointment, I call them and I tell them that. It doesn't happen very often, but I let them know, I'm going to get home, get my child adjusted, and I'll get back on the phone with you. I have a laptop. I don't have a desktop. My laptop goes with me everywhere. I can work anywhere you need me to work. I know where all the wireless locations are in my area. You know, I can do what needs to be done if my schedule has to change and I have to get something done. You know, keeping up with the technology, I, of course, have a BlackBerry like you have to have. Being able to send emails from everywhere you go. So many people think that that's terrible and it's awful and they can reach you anywhere you want. But what they don't perhaps realize is I can respond to emails to clients in the grocery checkout aisle.
That's right.
You know, so I'm waiting in line and I'm responding to clients. They don't know I'm at the grocery store. For all they know, I'm sitting at my desk or I'm just leaving a client meeting. All they know is that I'm getting back to them. You know, it's just such an important part to just be able to respond when I can. I have a headset for driving in the car, and when I get in the car, I make phone calls that need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have a headset. I don't hold my phone because, you know, I know, I understand that that's not the safest way to go about it, but I make phone calls everywhere I can, squeeze in time everywhere I can with still making sure that there's an hour booked in that day that, you know, is for me, which usually involves exercise. But for me, that's the way I unwind. So it might not be the same for everybody. But for me, if I can work out for an hour, that's really all I need. That's my downtime. But, yeah, I wish it was something. I wish I had some great miracle for everyone, but for me, as long as I'm on top of my schedule, then my life works. Is when my schedule falls apart that things become interesting.
Things
and
get a little
forgiveness
exciting.
Comes into play, right?
Right. Well, but it is a really great tip. It goes beyond just saying, you know, be mindful of your schedule or pay attention to it, where to say plan for tomorrow the night before. I mean, I think that just that little difference makes a big difference. And as you said, you don't put your head to the pillow before things are set for the next day, and be that lunches or permission slips, or I would guess even part of your work and sort of screwing your head on about, okay, tomorrow I've got this client meeting, or I need to write this brief, or whatever you have to do,
right.
You have a good idea of the day you're looking at, because when you try to just do it in the midst of the moment, you know, that crazy morning and kids need breakfast and clothes and, oh, you'd need that permission slip and you're lucky if it gets remembered, but if you can take a deep breath the night before and do it, I bet I'm just hearing from you that that simplifies the next day so much more.
Right. That would be right.
And I mean, that's a huge tip right there. And also, what I heard you say was you've gotten good at, I'm sure you'd say you're not perfect at it, but it sounds like you've gotten very good at maximizing your time. You know, like you said, you have road time, you have your headset or your Bluetooth or whatever somebody could use to make those calls and maybe even to plan that out. Okay, I know I have 20 minutes of road time, I could make these three calls and have the phone numbers, have things ready to go so that you can maximize that time. Or like you said, with a BlackBerry and you're grocery shopping, you know, you've got a long wait, you happen to get in the long line, which we all do every time, I think, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically,
right.
I don't know how that works, but we all always end up in the long line. So, but, you know, use it to dash back a response to somebody, to an email or something. But really finding ways to make those moments count so you don't have to do it, you know, when you're trying to watch a kid's baseball game or something
right.
like that. And technology serves us in so many ways. Like you said, the laptop, just having that you can throw in a bag and get to a wireless spot right away.
Right.
It's an amazing tool.
It really is. That's helpful. Another thing that I do try to do that I should mention is the night before, as I'm preparing for the next day, I also go through all of those emails that everybody gets that really aren't business related but
mm-hmm.
need to be responded to. So I try to sit down and go through all of those in one chunk and get them out of the way. And then the next day when I get to work, I try to not address those,
mm-hmm.
try to get to work, and then I know that tonight I'll be able to go through most of them. Now, some of them you have to get through, but there's so many. I mean, I think everyone knows
yeah.
now in the email age, you have to dedicate so much time just to managing your emails. But they have to be responded to. It's just part of being a good professional and building your business. So
mm-hmm.
I try to knock off as many as I possibly can in that evening time. You know, and a lot of times that's my time with my husband, and we sit down, and the kids are asleep, we turn the TV on, and again, I've got a laptop. So I put it on my lap, and I just burn through those emails. I'm not doing client work, I'm not doing anything that would be billable or need my specific attention, but that's the time that I choose to burn through
mm-hmm.
those little networking, oh, let's set up a meeting, let's set up a lunch, you know, thanks for that seminar, this kind of thing. That's when I choose to do those type of email responses.
A little bit more mindless that you can do, you know, watching
right.
reruns or something.
Exactly. I love when summer comes and TV's, I'm probably the only person that enjoys the season finales, because then I don't have that burden of being tied to my favorite TV show anymore in the evening. It's like my life, I become free.
Right, exactly. I know, because of course we get involved in them. That's the intention, but, you know, it does free up even more time when you can just say, whew, I don't even have to think about what time that was on again.
Exactly.
So, well, Susan, this has just been great. I've enjoyed talking with you so much, and you've shared so much information and ideas of thinking outside the box in how you structure your time or how you structure your practice. I'm wondering if you would mind sharing your website or anything about what you're up to or how folks could connect with you in the future.
Well, our website is WPDlegal.com. So that's probably the best way to find out more about the firm. I am I have various articles and such, but they're kind of scattered throughout and not in one place, but you should be able to find links to most of them on the web page. And that's probably the best way to go about it.
Great. Well, Susan, I just want to thank you again for your time today, for everything you've shared about yourself and personally what you've learned along your journey and how you're structuring yourself and your time. I know you've given a lot of tips away and thoughts and wisdom for people who are listening and reading these words. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. I think it's really important that women support women and that we do give each other tips and help each other become more successful at what we do. I think that's a really important part of being a woman and making sure that we're all there for each other, you know, again, starting the firm so that our even our office manager and our paralegals that work here, you know, our employees that work here are free to go to their child's school pageants and take a Friday afternoon off to go to the beach. It's built in here, and so that's what we're really trying to do is support other women and help everyone to try to really optimize that work-life balance as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's a beautiful mission, and it sounds like you're doing it in such a great way and with other women and really serving as a model from your introduction for even firms in the Chicagoland area and across the country. I think when we can see the power of doing something a little differently in a way that truly serves everyone involved, I can think of really creative solutions to challenging problems like figuring out how to have the balance, how to be a parent that we want to be and a professional that we want to be. And thank you for serving as a role model in that way by creating the firm that you've created and showing other women how to do that and supporting other women in that way.
Well, thank you for taking the time out to talk with me today.
Definitely. Well, with that, we'll close out our conversation with Susan. I hope you found something, be it through listening to the words of this call or reading them, that's been meaningful and that you can utilize in your life or in your law practice to make it everything that you want it to be. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you so much for being here today. Bye-bye.